This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
The following is paid for by Greater Pitt Tree Service.
Information on the program is intended to solely further the public's general knowledge about the product. Opinions expressed should not be relied upon for any purpose by any member of the audience. News Radio KDK does not guarantee the accuracy of any of the information aired on the following program.
These are the people, the movers and shakers, the businesses, the people you know in your community who make Pittsburgh work. This is Pittsburgh Works on 100.1 FM and AM 1020, KDKA.
Man, you know, we had Carlos on recently, and he said, you know, I think I'm going to get Troy to come in here because of all the things that are happening, not just with trees, but with plants, especially because of the warm weather. So, Troy Lampenfeld, he is their certified arborist, the Greater Pitt Tree Service. That's 412-884-TREE. And today, we're going to be talking magnolias, hemlocks, crabapples, and the extreme heat. So if you have any questions, I highly urge you, if your plants are withering away in front of your very eyes and your trees just don't seem to have that life that they should this time of year, if you need help, this is an opportunity to get free advice from a true expert who's going to have an incredible career ahead of him. He's a real pro. He's a young guy who absolutely loves what he does, and he does incredible work. And I know how much that Carlos and company appreciate him at Greater Pitt Tree Service, as do the customers. So here's the number, 866-391-1020, 866-391-1020. Troy, great to have you back. Boy, the severe heat can do a lot of damage to the outdoor living space, can it not?
It totally can, Rob, and it's great to be back. Yeah, I mean, heat can do as much damage to, you know, the landscape around you as it can to you if you're outside all day. And trust me, it's been brutal out there. Our crew has been sweating crazy, doing hard work all the past couple of weeks. So, you know, shout out to the crew. They're doing very, very solid work out there, as always. And this heat is no joke for people working outside. For everybody working outside, my heart goes out to you. So this, you know, this type of heat can do a couple of things. For one thing, obviously, when you're looking at heat, it damages plants that are under water stress. But, you know, we've had a ton of rain over the past couple of months. So I'm not extremely worried about water stress being an issue in this heat, but the type of weather that we've had all through this year has caused a lot of different things to be a little bit more on the rise, especially certain types of plant diseases are on the rise. First thing that I'd talk about in terms of, you know, plant diseases that are on the rise because of the weather is apple scab on apple trees, on hawthorns, on trees similar to that, basically. When you're looking at having extreme heat directly following tons and tons of rain, extreme heat following water is a very, very conducive environment for fungus to grow, basically. And so this type of fungus called Venturia inequalis is what causes a disease called apple scab in apple trees. And what that does is it's a foliar leaf disease. It's a foliar disease, foliar fungal disease that basically causes early leaf drop. It causes abscission of the leaves midway through summer. So you'll see crabapple trees that are starting to lose all their leaves already. They're starting to yellow off and lose leaves early into the summer. And the trees suffer because of that. When you think about how a tree gets its energy, all of the energy in a tree, one way or another, comes from the leaves photosynthesizing light. So when those leaves fall off midway through the summer, they're missing months and months and months of potential, you know, the energy that could be taken in by photosynthesis. So apple scab is not going to kill your tree in 1 year, but over a longer period of time, it's going to stress the tree out substantially to a point where it can be taken advantage of by other issues. And getting ahead of it and managing it before that becomes a problem can be the difference between keeping a crabapple tree for 40, 50 years and, you know, losing it after 5 to 10. Depends on the conditions that you have. But, yeah, I mean, making sure that you're cautious about how you treat your trees definitely makes a difference as to what you get out of them, especially if you have a house with really large mature crabapple trees. That type of stress can definitely be a problem for them in the long run there. But yeah, Rob, this heat has been crazy. It's been impacting us a lot. Basically, you know, from working with the crew outside, it's extremely dangerous to be out there working in high heat. So we're making sure we give the crew water breaks and everything like that. But this is a tough time to be in the tree care industry, but anytime's a tough time to be in the tree care industry, you know what I'm saying?
So let me ask you, what's the chances of actually saving some of these, you know, when they start wilting and the leaves start dropping? If they get out there early enough, your crews, and you're on the property and kind of getting a good overview, can you save this stuff more times than not?
Yeah, it depends on the tree. A lot of the time, the biggest mistake that people make is they wait too long to call us, basically. You know, when you're at a point where you've had symptoms for a decade or more, that tree's probably going to end up being gone. But if you call us maybe first year into symptoms or something like that with, you know, apple scabs specifically, there's a really, really good chance with certain types of treatments with fungicides and with foliar sprays that we can manage that infection and kind of eliminate that so that the tree can get back to its best health. When you're talking about wilting and damage from drought, and extreme heat, if we're in a period, which we're not necessarily right now, but if we were in a period where, you know, we've got extreme heat and no water, if a tree starts to wilt because of that, because you've not watered it for a long time, you can definitely have a tree die off due to drought stress. And it happens all the time. We take down a lot of trees that have died due to drought stress, or at the very least, have been stressed extremely by drought and excessive heat, and then we have to kind of come in and take them down because they become unsafe. It's not that the tree has died completely, but if you have, you know, let's say an oak tree 50 foot tall next to your house, and it is struggling from drought stress, and it starts to lose large limbs right next to your house, there's only so much that you can do before you do have to take that tree down. So making sure that you stay ahead of things and maintain proper care of your trees is the way to keep the benefits that the trees offer you. You know, having large trees on a property, especially large mature trees, is a massive benefit to the property in more ways than one. First off, there have been a ton of different studies that have shown that generally being in a more green place is conducive to reduction of cortisol and stress levels, and, you know, basically increased mood, all these other things, and positive health effects. So being in green spaces and having, you know, large mature trees, canopy cover on your property is probably better for you in general. But on top of that, you reap direct benefits like, you know, the water that absorbs from the soil keeps your foundation from letting water and from flooding your house, basically. The shade that it provides to your house lowers your heating costs. Aesthetically, they can be extremely appealing to increase property value. All these different benefits that trees have for a variety of different things can be lost if you're not doing the proper care to maintain them and, you know, keep them in a position where they're suitable and sustainable in an urban landscape. And that's something that people miss a lot of the time, Rob.
All right, good stuff. Listen, before we go to break, I want everybody to know we're open for business. If you have any questions, you're dealing with some of these stress-related issues when it comes to your plant care and trees because of the heat. If you need help or you've been seeing something and you're wondering if it's an issue, we're here to help. So Troy's going to take your calls until 10 o'clock, Greater Pitt Tree Service. Give us a call. It's 866-391-1020. Explain what transpiration means. What exactly does that mean when it comes to how trees handle heat? Go ahead.
No, you're coming with big words at me, Rob. That's cool. I love having a little bit of tree talk. So transpiration is basically the tree's process of water evaporating from the leaf surface. Not surface necessarily, but the tree losing water through things called stomata in the surface of the leaf, basically. And stomata are these little pores that open and close in different, basically different conditions. So when you have really, really high heat and extreme sun conditions, on a tree, the stomata, in an attempt to maintain all of the water in the tree, will close up, actually. And when you have the stomata closing up on a leaf surface, it makes it so that the tree can no longer exchange gases with the outside world, basically. So, you know, a lot of these processes, like, you know, the byproducts from photosynthesis or hydrolysis, you know, the management of the Krebs cycle, all these different things, the gases that they make as byproduct are no longer let out of the tree. And so, you know, the creation of oxygen, all these different things are put on hold when the tree is unable to transpire. So transpiration is an essential, really an essential proponent of life on the planet based upon how much oxygen mature trees provide. But yeah, I mean, transpiration not only does that, but it also is largely responsible for water uptake in trees, right? So the way that the roots absorb water through that soil is not, you know, just there's no pump going on there. It's basically something called capillary action, which a lot of people might be familiar with. You know, capillary action basically is a small amount of water climbing up through a straw slowly, effectively. And you can think of a tree as a very large bundle of straws with the roots as absorbing straws at the base in an area of soil. So the way to get water to move from the bottom of the straw to the top of the straw is to allow the air to escape and allow the gases and the water at the top of that basically to come out, and it draws more water from the bottom. So without transpiration, the tree loses its ability to absorb water, its ability to off-put gases. Really, the whole life cycle, the whole, you know, live material on a tree begins to falter when transpiration isn't possible. So when we get these extreme heats, you know, we have some serious problems that can occur with trees where they'll be in that state for even just a couple of days of that can be really dramatically impactful on trees. And then they get put into a position of stress. And when a tree is stressed, you have the ability to basically pull it back from that stress point to a more healthy position, which we can help you to do basically by checking for nutrient deficiencies in the soil or in the leaf surface or the live material on the tree. We can do, okay, you know, biomass basically. But there's a lot of different things we can do to help out there. But you got to make sure to get us out there before you have the issues.
All right, listen, we got to get a break in here. Troy Lampenfeld is our guest certified arborist for our buddy Carlos and the gang at Greater Pitt Tree Service. If you have any warm weather related questions, your trees, your plants, things you notice you need help with, give us a call right now. All of our lines are open. Don't miss this opportunity. He's here till 10. The hour will go by quickly. 866-391-1020. And you can also call right now and leave your information at Greater Pitt Tree Service, 412-884-TREE, 412-884-8733. But this is a golden opportunity to get those questions answered. Heat-related questions when it comes to your trees and plants. Troy Lampenfeld, Greater Pitt Tree Service, 866-391-1020. All of our lines are open, easy access. We'll get you on the air in just a matter of moments. We'll be right back.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
These are the people who make Pittsburgh work. This is Pittsburgh Works on 100.1 FM and AM 1020, KDKA.
All right, Accurate Solutions. Next hour, then a special edition of the Coons Market Black and Gold Sunday Show, paying tribute to longtime Pirate and soon to be enshrined into Pro Baseball's Hall of Fame, Dave Parker, who passed away yesterday at the age of 74. One of our guests will include Bob Dvorak, longtime Pirate beat writer and Post-Gazette sports writer, talking about the legacy of Dave Parker. And also, right off the top, usually talking football, Ray Fittipaldi, who grew up in Dormont. We're going to give him a chance to talk a little bit about Dave Parker as well. So that's just literally a couple of hours away. I hope you'll stay with us throughout the day. But right now, Troy Lampenfeld is here, Greater Pitt Tree Service, 412-884-TREE, 412-884-8733. We're talking heat-related issues when it comes to your trees and plants. Do me a favor, Troy. Tell them about what you're doing with plant health care and how you can be out there year-round to make sure everybody is in good graces when it comes to the outdoors. Go ahead.
Yeah, so our plant health care program has a couple of different options in terms of what you can do with it. But one of the best things is to sign up for a yearly program, basically. And for the yearly program, what it entails is we'll come out, we'll get a custom soil sample for all of your different plants on the property, basically your key plants, what you need to maintain. And we'll install a soil management plan to make sure that those plants are performing well, are keeping themselves healthy, and are going to be around for the long haul. And I'll come back personally to a lot of properties. I'll come personally to the property, check for insect and disease issues, check for nutrient deficiencies, check for a variety of different things with plants on your property to make sure that they're in the best shape possible. And in that yearly plan, I'll come out, multiple times through the season to check at different points for very important different signals, right? So there's a certain thing called phenology in the tree world, basically, and a lot of landscape management world. But phenology is basically just the timing of certain events in nature corresponding with other events. So one event that would be, kind of the signal of spring for me and many other people is the blossoming of magnolia trees. And magnolia trees are almost, saucer magnolias anyhow, are always blooming really right around the start of spring. And that's determined by something called growing degree days, but that's a whole other mess. Either way, when you have those types of things and I can come out and I can see, okay, right now, magnolias are blooming. That means certain crawlers for a certain species of scale are out, and I can, do management strategy to keep those away from this plant. We really operate on a whole system for each property independently, and we'll develop kind of a system for your property that makes sense, where we get treatments that are necessary without doing too much and, just going crazy on the property. And making sure that you get what you need to keep your plants in good shape and in good health, and do basically the amount that is necessary to keep you in like Rob says, the good graces of your outdoor landscape. But managing trees with that type of integrated, it's called IPM, integrated pest management approach, is the best way to keep your trees happy and healthy in the long term, and has been for a little while now. But the science in this field continues to develop, continues to improve. Our understanding of trees on the whole is honestly quite slim compared to what it could be and I think should be. And in the future, I think we're going to be making really big leaps and bounds with that type of stuff. But we're just trying to give the most scientifically based and well-founded care of trees and shrubs that we can to all of our clients, especially our clients that are with us on a yearly basis, because we develop a longer-term relationship with them to be the people that they come to and trust when they have an issue with their tree care, their shrub care, anything like that. So it's a very fulfilling thing for us and for the clientele, but it's always good to build a relationship, but in this way specifically, where our goal is the preservation and, the beautification in some cases of urban landscapes and, even suburban landscape houses, everything like that. So it's something that I've taken a very special interest in, and that the rest of the company is taking an interest in as well. So it's one of our favorite new things that we're doing here is the plant healthcare program. And if you call in and just ask for me, I can come out to your property and check it out free of charge, see what it would cost to get you on. Every property is different, but we can get out there and see what issues you might have and see things we can do to benefit you.
Sounds good. 412-884-TREE, 412-884-8733. Any tree-related questions, warm weather-related issues with trees and plants, call us. Get that advice. Lines are open, 866-391-1020. Let's go to Wilkinsburg and say good morning to Ivan for Troy Lampenfeld, Greater Pitt Tree Service, Sunday Morning Pittsburgh Works, KDK. Hey, Ivan, good morning.
Hi, Rob. Good morning. Nice to talk with you.
You too, sir.
Yeah, I just had a question for Troy Lampenfeld about that has to do with a copper beech tree. I know there are certain trees that can only be pruned at certain times a year, like in the wintertime during their dormancy. Is the copper beech tree among those, or can a copper beech be pruned or trimmed at this time of year? I have a couple dead limbs that I've been wanting for some time to prune off. I can't get to them myself. They're kind of high. But I'm worried about the time of year with the heat. I'm curious about just the time of year, the timing of pruning a beech tree with the heat and the possible infestation of bacteria, bugs, etc. from pruning at this time of year.
So copper beech trees are relatively resilient. A lot of the reason that you'll have trees that can only be trimmed during certain times of year is because of caution of certain different diseases or specific vectors of disease that are more active during the summer. So almost always the very best optimal time to trim a tree is going to be either late fall through the winter when it's dormant or into early spring while it's still dormant before bud break. But, you know, when you're looking at the types of trees that are most susceptible to serious diseases around this area, number one and two are probably oak and elm trees because they have what's called ring porous wood growth structure. Beech trees do not have that. They have more smooth structure. So, you know, you're not looking at a very high likelihood of disease, but we have recently seen in eastern Pennsylvania, actually, where we've seen reports of beech leaf disease, which is a new disease coming for many beech trees that has been extremely problematic and can damage them, can kill them. So I would exercise, you know, a breadth of caution on this just because of the institution of this newer disease. So I would wait until probably late fall to get those pruned. But if you have us come out, I could take a look at it, get you an estimate for pruning, and then, you know, we can get you set up on the schedule for fall during our oak and elm trim season so that, you know, we can get it out of sight, out of mind. It kind of will manage itself to a certain extent because it'll already be on the schedule for us. But I would put that during winter right now.
Yeah, okay, that sounds like safe, good advice. That was my thought as well. Well, I appreciate your information.
All right, can I just jump in from the lane? This is for you, Ivan. What kind of what kind of tree is that, sir?
It's a copper beech. It's a very beautiful, it's one of the few large trees left on my street, actually. It glows a beautiful purplish copper throughout the year, but especially after it rains. It's a very beautiful, lustrous purple copper leaf.
Neat.
It's pretty unique.
It's really special. You know, my son was just in Wilkinsburg, and he was just talking about how nice of a community it was. So, hey, I may have to take a drive and check that tree out. So have a good day, okay?
Yeah, thank you. Thank you, Rob.
All right, listen, we got our man here, Troy Lampenfeld. He got you covered. Whatever you need to know, heat-related issues when it comes to magnolias and apple trees and your plants, give us a call. Lines are open at 866-391-1020, or you can call and set up an appointment and become a part of that plant healthcare program throughout the year. 412-884-TREE, 412-884-8733. But you got to get those questions in now while you can. He's here till 10, 866-391-1020. We'll be back.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
The following is paid for by Greater Pitt Tree Service.
These are the people who make Pittsburgh work. This is Pittsburgh Works on 100.1 FM and AM 1020. KDKA.
All right, back with Troy Lampenfeld, Greater Pitt Tree Service, 412-884-TREE, 412-884-8733. Cannot recommend it enough. You get plant health care year-round. Let them come out season after season. The reason? You'll be in good shape if you make the call and get signed up for that. But now, if you're dealing with any heat-related issues and you got some concern because of trees and plants just not looking up to par, give us a call. He'll take your question right now. You'll get some free advice for just making a toll-free call at 866-391-1020, 866-391-1020. All right, so let me ask you, somebody would right away think, okay, just water the trees more. But how should you water the trees? And, you know, we've talked about volcano mulch in the past and how deadly that can be. But some people say mulching, if you do it right, can help trees basically store some water by filling up that mulch with water. So talk about watering and heat-related issues and how you should go about it to help your trees and plants. Go ahead, Troy.
Yeah, so watering is definitely something that needs to be done for younger trees a lot more, I would say. So it all depends on the individual tree, on the texture of the soil, on the type of soil. The best way to just check whether or not your tree needs water is basically to go out, put your finger into the soil 1 or 2 inches deep into the soil and check whether or not it's got sufficient moisture in there. Because if you try to stick to something like, water twice a week or water once a week, depending on the type of soil you have, if you're watering twice a week and you have extremely dense clay soil that's going to drain very poorly, you're going to cause root rot and you're going to have issues with the tree that you wouldn't have otherwise had that you caused watering. But if you have extremely sandy soil that drains very, very quickly and, you're watering twice a week, you may be fine. Additionally, it matters more really, even what species of tree you're looking at as well. If you're trying to look at a willow tree and you have a weeping willow that you are dumping water on, you're watering it very frequently, provided that you're not going crazy and doing it every day, you're probably not going to overwater it easily anyhow. But that tree loves water. It's extremely hydrophilic. It's a tree that grows. It's what's called a riparian species, species that grow in lower areas closer to riverland that are more tolerant of flood conditions. The same thing with sycamores or London plane trees that you'll see around. They're more tolerant of water. They love to seek out water, and they'll have a lot of, a lot of success in areas near rivers. If you look by any one of the three rivers in Pittsburgh or any creek or stream, I guarantee you will find at least one London plane tree or, most people call them sycamores because it's more, colloquially available. But when you're looking at watering, the prescription is very specific to the type of tree and the type of soil that you have. So the best way to do it is just to go out, check if the soil is moist. If the soil is moist and it feels as if it's holding a fair amount of water, that pore space, the air in between the little particles of soil, is relatively inundated with water, then you're fine and you don't need to water. If it feels a little bit more dry, maybe consider watering in the next day or two. But with heat, checking that more frequently is more important because that soil is going to dry out faster. Same way you would with a garden or anything like that. If you have an extreme heat wave, you water the garden more frequently. If you have rain every single day for a month, which, that sounds familiar, maybe you don't need to water the garden quite as much, right? So it depends largely upon the situation that you're in as to where you want to do any kind of watering. But like I said, if you're overwatering, it can cause just as many problems as if you are underwatering. So, don't get overzealous about it because many issues with plants, many issues with trees, even potted plants inside, come from basically human caused issues, things that we do to try to manage them that end up causing us and the trees more harm than good. So make sure that you're careful about what you're doing and just taking an educated approach as opposed to just trying to do more.
Okay.
Because more is not always better in this case.
All right, good stuff, Troy. Let's get to Roz in Crafton Heights. Wants to talk about her maple tree. Go ahead, Roz.
Hi there. Good morning.
Good morning.
I'm not sure if this is heat related, but since there's not too many people, I'm calling about it. I have a young Japanese maple tree, and I noticed I have it protected from the deer with that hard plastic thing around it. And I noticed a woodpecker on there. And for some reason, I saw it peck at the trunk. And I went over there, and I noticed that there are the tiny ants are on it. And I see that the bark is pulling away from, like, the pulp inside. I don't know if that's heat-related or what, but I want to know if there's something I can do to repair that or put that back together. And it's in a couple different spots. I know they're probably going after the sap.
Yeah, on a Japanese maple, you really don't want to see exfoliating bark, or you don't want to see bark coming off the tree, rather, because it doesn't naturally have, like a silver maple, a larger tree, you'll see bark exfoliate and come off of the tree, and that's very normal. But when you have loss of bark on a smooth bark species like a Japanese maple, you're probably looking at some kind of issue. Depending on how young it is, it may have had some kind of impact damage at the nursery or in transit that caused, like, cambium cells underneath those areas in the bark to die off before it was.
I don't want to interrupt you, but I grew it from a baby, just to let you know that.
Oh, perfect.
Like, okay. It was a seedling. Yeah, I mean, you know.
If you grew it up from a seedling, it's interesting. It may have had other types of impact damage, but when bark is dying off like that, you're either looking at impact damage or you're looking at damage to the root system, which then impacts the basically the health of the vascular system above those roots. So it's questionable, but having bark fallen off of the tree is not a great sign on that. When you have bark falling off the tree, the best, you don't want to pick at it, but having it sitting on top of the tree while not being attached, or on top of there while not being attached, is also not ideal. So a lot of the times, tracing around the area where the bark has come off and basically cutting a smooth line around it to help the tree have an easier time covering that over with new growth is what people will do to try to mitigate the impact of that. If you have us come out, for a consultation, I can probably help you out and do that potentially while I'm out there if we need to. But that's something that, you know, I'd want to see with my eyes a little bit before I made any judgment calls on what caused that necessarily. But how to manage it, you know, what caused it only matters so much now that the bark is dying back. How you manage it is really going to be more important there.
And there's no, like, if you cut your finger and you put the flap of skin back down, there's no doing that. Like, none of the bark has fallen off. It's just, like, almost separated in areas.
Yeah.
There's no, it won't adhere anymore, right?
No, when it's delaminated like that, that's because some of the cambium cells or other, the cells attaching the bark to the rest of the wood have died off. And trees don't heal in the same way that people do. Trees compartmentalize decay and then grow around. So Japanese maple should compartmentalize the decay that's on there and then continue to grow outward with secondary growth. And eventually that'll get covered over with new growth. And ideally, depending on the extent of it, it won't be that much of a problem. But leaving the bark on there can be more harmful than it can be beneficial, because if you put the bark back on there, it just traps moisture in that area and leaves a more conducive environment for fungi to live, leaves an area where insects will lay their eggs, and then those eggs will make galleries through the wood and bore through the wood. So you can have more issues leaving the bark on than you can taking it off a lot of the time. But how you take it off makes a big difference, because if you tear into live bark or areas of the tree that weren't damaged, you're spreading the decay more substantially and you're causing a larger issue than you had to start with. So It's a little bit finicky, but I would not, you know, I wouldn't recommend leaving the bark on there if it's delaminated and you have the option.
Okay. All right. Thank you very much. I appreciate your help.
All right.
Have a good day.
You too. Good stuff. Listen, we got another call waiting in the wings. We're going to get to Jack on the other side of the break. Troy Lampenfeld is here. Greater Pitt Tree Service, 412-884-TREE, 412-884-8733. If you want to get a question in before the hour is up, number to dial is 866-391-1020. Greater Pitt Tree Service, Troy Lampenfeld, certified arborist till the top of the hour, 866-391-1020. We'll be back.
These are the people who make Pittsburgh work. This is Pittsburgh Works on 100.1 FM and AM 1020, KDKA.
All right, wrapping it up with Troy Lampenfeld, Greater Pitt Tree Service. If you have a question for us, 866-391-1020, or you can call them directly. And don't forget to ask about that year-round plant health care. And that number is 412-884-TREE, 412-884-8733. Jack in Carnegie, go ahead, sir.
Hello, Troy and Rob. Long time listener to your shows. Troy, I have 7 skyrocket junipers, and I put them up about 5 or 6 years ago as a wind block. And with all the wind and the rain that we've had, I have several of those skyrockets that are leaning towards one way. Because of the wind and the softness of the ground.
When you have that much rain, this is an issue that will happen. Is you'll have basically the roots will be, you know, the newer roots that are growing out into new soil are just reaching into soft soil that isn't really sustainable for structural stability on there. So, I mean, a lot of people will recommend staking there if necessary. That's probably the route that I would go on this, is tying those up with arbor tie if you have the option to. Is it located somewhere where you have access to putting, you know, stakes around it, or are they kind of closed off?
Well, the problem is that I planted them as a wind block, so they're approximately 3 feet spaced between each other, but there's very little room between the skyrockets. And I know I could drive the stakes in, but I don't want to damage roots also by putting the stakes in the ground.
Yeah, you'd have to be careful with that. The best way to go about that, if you do have to use the stakes because they're starting to fall, what you want to do is you want to drive the stakes in, but basically dig a hole first and cut the root. Any roots that you would run past, try to make sure that you're as far away from the trunk of the tree as possible. But any roots that you would run past there, you would want to dig in and then cut them as cleanly as you can with hand pruners, and then install the stakes into that hole. And then from there, tie, not, you know, you don't want it like a clothesline really tight to that post.
Mm-hmm.
You want it relatively loose so that in any direction, if the tree is to start falling, then the line will tension. You want it so that in normal conditions, the tree is not under any tension, so that the tree can still develop roots that are designed to help it stay stable. Because the last thing you want to do is have this tree effectively walking on a crutch while it's small. And then when it gets large enough, and it outgrows the stakes and it no longer has that additional support, it'll be more likely to uproot and fail. So making sure that the tree has a sustained point of, you know, of support without having constant tension on the line, keeping it from moving, is an important thing. The natural development from wind pressure is something that trees need to keep themselves stable. So robbing them of that can be a big issue when you're looking at staking and support systems. But I would still recommend doing the stakes, because if they fall over, they're no use, and they're not going to block the wind. They're not going to keep themselves up. So using stakes is probably your best bet here, depending on the age of the trees anyhow.
Troy, the trees are fairly big. I mean, they're about 12 foot tall right now. And like I said, there's very little room to work. Do you guys do any of that kind of work, trying to stake them up or anything like that? Greater Pitt, do any of that work?
It's not something that we typically do, but I could come out and give it a look. And, you know, if it's something that I feel like I can just get done myself, I'll do it myself and we'll just handle it that way. But give me a call and we'll see if we can set that up. And if not, I can come out there at the very least and give you, you know, the most pertinent advice. I can give you a list of materials that would work well, everything like that, if that's the route we want to go down. All right.
Very, very helpful. And you can look at the health of the trees also. You may want to recommend something for the health of the trees in general.
Yeah, yeah, of course. If there's something going on that needs managed, I'll be out there. I'll help you out with it, all right?
Appreciate it, Troy. Thanks, Rob.
All right, buddy, you're welcome. We're getting real busy here in the final moments. Let's do one more call. Let's head to that great community of Munn Hall and say good morning to Beth. Beth, you're on the air with Troy Lampenfeld, Greater Pitt Tree Service. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you both?
Good. What's your question?
I have several fruit trees in my yard. They were there when I bought the house. And I'm wondering what the best season is to prune them. They all need pruned, and I don't want to create a problem for them fruiting. I just don't know when the best time is.
Yeah, so if you're looking to prune fruit trees, it depends on what you're using them for also, because if you're using them kind of as a hobby orchard and you want to collect all the fruit from them, you don't want to cut it off while it's still developing the fruit, obviously. And you don't want to cut it after the flowers have come out. Then it's starting to develop the fruit on there. Those flowers are turning into fruit, basically. So you want to wait until directly after harvest if you're looking at, you know, edible fruit trees specifically. That makes it so that you lose the smallest quantity of your harvest and the smallest quantity of basically invested energy. So when a tree is developing all those fruits, they're putting a massive amount of resources and energy into the fruit and into the flowers. So the
I've noticed that they even have less green. I've noticed that there's even less leaves whenever they're fruiting. That they once the like I have a cherry tree, the fruit has fallen off now, or the birds have all eaten it, and now it's starting to get a lot of leaves. Like it had the leaves were sparse while it had the fruit on.
Yeah, that, I mean, trees, energy expenditure, I like to think of it kind of as a pie chart, where, you know, you can slide one piece of the pie one way or the other, to increase the size of one or the other, but you're taking away from something else. So investing in fruit growth, sometimes does take away from overall leaf mass, just based on the availability of nutrients in the soil as well. But I would, when you're looking at the pruning specifically, I would definitely focus on pruning after fruit has been harvested if you're looking to improve the harvest. And make sure if you're pruning yourself, make sure you're cutting back to lateral branches that are at least one-third the thickness of the other branches on the portion that you're taking off so that it can take over that growth and you don't have problems with epicormic stress growth on there.
You mean like at a point where there's a branching? Take it back to that.
Yeah, yes. Okay. You want to cut it back to a branching point because making internodal cuts can cause a lot of problems for the tree.
Okay. All right, good. Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
All right, Beth.
Thank you. Thanks for calling in.
You have a great day. Hey, we're out of time. Troy, always a pleasure. Let's do it again real soon, okay?
Of course, Rob. Thank you very much.
There he goes. Troy Lampenfeld, young man who definitely has got a plan. He is such a pro. And Carlos and I just love spending time with him on the radio. And I know you'll be pleasantly pleased if he comes out to your property, especially that plant healthcare. You sign up all year long. They keep an eye on everything so you don't get in any trouble. And if there is trouble brewing, they can fix it for you on the spot. And if you're dealing with anything when it comes to your trees, remember Greater Pitt Tree Service. They're the people down the street. They did your neighbor tree. They grew up here. They know the turf, the landscape. They know what trees need and what they don't need. But when you need them, they'll be there for you. The number is 412-884-TREE. 412-884-TREE. That's 412-884-8733. 412-884-8733. We got some really good things coming up next hour, Accurate Solutions. And then our special edition of the Coons Market Black and Gold Sunday Show dedicated to the life of Dave Parker, who is set just weeks from now to be enshrined in the Pro Baseball's Hall of Fame, one of the greatest Pirates ever, who passed away yesterday at the age of 74. So stay with us throughout the day, early afternoon, and always right here at KDKA, 100.1 FM, AM 1020. Good morning.
The proceeding was paid for by Greater Pitt Tree Service. Information on the program was intended to solely further the public's general knowledge about the product. Opinions expressed should not be relied upon for any purpose by any member of the audience. News Radio KDK does not guarantee the accuracy of any of the information heard on the preceding program.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcasts.